Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Our colleague in the newsroom, Tony Connolly, RTE's Europe editor, is reporting in the last few minutes that there are indications that the EU and the UK may not be able to conclude a definitive deal on the Northern Ireland Protocol in time for the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement, but instead they'll reach an outline agreement which will suggest that substantial more technical work will have to be done. Now, the anniversary is on the 10th of April and it's seen as an unofficial deadline for an agreement on the protocol in the hope that the Northern Ireland Executive and Assembly can be restored. We were just talking to Deirdre Heenan about this a little earlier. RTE News understands from a number of sources that despite slow but steady progress in technical talks between the EU and the UK, there may not be enough time for a definitive agreement that settles all of the outstanding issues. That from Tony Connolly, RTE's Europe editor. Now, the silence is deafening, the words used by Prince Harry in last night's ITV interview when he described the reaction from Buckingham Palace to a recent Jeremy Clarkson column in the Sun newspaper about his wife, Meghan Markle. He's accused Buckingham Palace of repeatedly failing to defend Meghan, saying, "Everything to do with my wife. After 6 years, they haven't said a single thing." Prince Harry also spoke about when his grandmother, Queen Elizabeth, died in September.
The day that she died was just a really, really horrible reaction from my family members. They were on the back foot, and then the briefings and the leaking and the planting. I was like, we're here to celebrate the life of Granny and to mourn her loss. Can we come together as a family?
So what more did we learn ahead of the publication of his memoir, Spare? That's out tomorrow. I'm joined on the line by Enda Brady, journalist in London and media consultant. Good morning, Enda.
Good morning, Claire. Great to speak to you again.
So last night we saw this interview. He fleshed out some of the leaks we've already heard about from his memoir. What was the standout moment for you, or what was your take after the 90 minutes?
I felt incredibly sad at the end of it for Harry that it has come to this. And I think there was one key phrase that certainly didn't come out of his head. I think this is perhaps something that developed in therapy, or someone who's been guiding him through his journey with all of this has come up with. But he said that silence enables the abuser to keep being abusive. That was one phrase he used. And I thought that was a very, very interesting take. You know, it was put to him, why are you so vocal now? Why are you doing the book and all the documentaries and all of these interviews? And that was what Harry said. Silence enables the abuser to keep being abusive. Now, he didn't point out whether it was the royal family or the tabloid media, but that was Harry's take. Overall, I found it absolutely fascinating.
It was compelling, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, look, he's not academically brilliantly bright. People have known that for a very long time. But I think you have to hand it to him. He landed his message. He knew what he wanted to say. And he was a very powerful speaker last night. And he answered every single question Tom Bradby threw at him.
He's very angry, isn't he? He's very upset and angry.
I think he's still grief-stricken for his mother. I think he's absolutely desperate that nothing happens, Meghan or the children, in the way that his mother was treated with that level of harassment. I think he desperately needs help, and perhaps he is getting it now. But what shone through was the fact that as a young boy and as a teenager who went off the rails, there was no one there to put an arm around him. And it was all lots of briefings and different camps in the royal family. And there was so much came out of that interview last night, from the fact that every palace has the day's newspapers dotted around and you can see who's in favour. And he claims they all compete with each other for attention. Well, we've all known that for a very long time in the media. And he even accused William of telling him, Harry, to shave off his beard for his own wedding day. Mm-hmm. Harry's wedding to Meghan, William wanted the beard gone.
Yeah.
Extraordinary.
His relationship with his father, King Charles, he said that his father wasn't ready for parenthood. And although he tried, he was never made for single parenthood. What did you think we learned about that relationship?
I felt, again, very sad listening to him talk about the issues that he had. And he said there was one dinner at Highgrove where he sat down with his father and he talked through everything he was going through. And he said at the end of it that Charles looked crestfallen and said, this is my fault, I guess. You know, I'm paraphrasing, but it was, he kept using the phrase a single parent. And I think you know, perhaps we've never appreciated that Charles was left to bring up two boys by himself. And I know Camilla was constantly in the background. But again, one theme that shone through from the interview was there seems to be a burning grudge against Camilla, who he accused of playing the long game.
Yeah, where does that stem from? I mean, he talked about, or we heard him reading from his memoir, where he said, look, it's fine, see her, live with her, whatever you want to do, just do not marry her. And he now says she's in the position now that she always wanted.
Yes, I think, you know, he used the phrase the long game, and if it was a game, Camilla has won. And he was asked the question, well, what is the long game? And Harry said, marriage and the crown. And if you notice now, you know, he then accused certain people in the royal family of dancing with the devil, or getting into the bed with the devil, yeah, was the phrase he used in terms of the tabloid media. Now, if you go back to when Diana died, Camilla was public enemy number one here in the UK for years. They hired in a very clever communications fella, spin doctor. Positive stories started appearing. She started doing more charitable work. Now, I've seen Camilla firsthand at events, how she works a room, how she's got extraordinary people skills in a way Charles could only dream of. She's extremely clever. And, you know, if you look at it now, the papers now, in the weeks after the Queen died, I remember reading a headline on the Times app one morning, and it said the Queen had done something. And the papers here very quickly switched from the Queen is dead to the Queen is attending this charity. She's not referred to as the Queen's consort. Camilla in the papers here now is referred to as Queen. And that was never part of the deal, as far as we were led to believe.
Yeah, and he is attributing motive to her in terms of wanting always to get to that position and plotting out a road to that position. And I don't think we've ever heard that before.
No, and at the same time then, he's calling for reconciliation with his family. He was asked the question, will he go to his father's coronation in May? He was non-committal about that. So I think he's lobbed, I wouldn't say one hand grenade, half a dozen hand grenades into the House of Windsor and just walked off.
Now, the royal family have always maintained their silence when it comes to Harry and his allegations. Do you think after all of this, they will say anything?
They won't say a word. I think they're going to keep a dignified silence. They've very much gone back to the mantra from the Queen Elizabeth 70 years, never complain, never explain. And I think they will fall back on that. They won't say a word. There was a phrase that came out over Christmas from royal circles. We're wearied, not worried. That was what they said. I think they will be shocked privately. I think they will be shocked that he has said so much, given away so much detail. He really turned his fire on William, who he says he still loves. And yes, you know, he's hoping for some sort of a reconciliation at the end of this. And I really don't think they'll have him at the coronation, because for two reasons, you run the risk of creating a situation or having him booed in the street as he enters any church. And then secondly, if he does turn up, people wouldn't want to give him the kind of content generation opportunity for another documentary or a second book.
Yeah, it's unlikely that he'll be there, and unlikely that there will be reconciliation. Enda, thank you as always. Enda Brady there.
Thanks.
Journalist in London and media consultant. Coming up next, Dr. David Coleman.
Today with Claiborne. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.